Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The Labour Party are holding a discussion online tomorrow to discuss their campaign to decriminalise the drug user. Campaigners have been calling for laws around the possession of small amounts of drugs to be reformed amid concerns that legislation is not tackling the problem of drug use. And they're talking about Class A drugs here, by the way, as well, heroin, cocaine, etc., etc. Many groups have long called for drug use to be addressed as a social and health issue rather than the criminal justice issue that it currently is. However, others disagree and fear that move could increase drug use. The possession of any amount of cannabis is illegal under Irish law, although an individual found guilty of possession for personal use can escape a criminal conviction if it's their first time before the courts. So generally speaking, if somebody's found, you know, with 10 quid's worth of cannabis on them, it's most likely they're not going to end up in court. And even if they did end up in court, it's most likely the judge is not going to give the criminal conviction for a first-time offence for just having cannabis. So this kind of, it's a bit of a moot argument that people will end up, oh, you'll never be able to go to America if you're caught with cannabis. It's a bit of a moot argument because it just doesn't generally happen. Usually it's, usually you'll have enough for dealing, and that's why people are brought to the courts when it comes to cannabis use. Generally speaking too, when it comes to enough for heroin abuse, I don't see the Garda Síochána arresting people on a daily basis for banging up in the city centre. Now, if they're a drug dealer, they most likely will be arrested. But Anna Quigley of the Citywide Drug Crisis Campaign is among those who have questioned whether this approach makes sense. If it's not a criminal offence the first time, but it is a criminal offence the third time, is there any logic to that? Well, I think basically, Anna, you know, I don't know if you listen to the show or not, I think the suggestion is that you give people a chance, I suppose. That it's not the biggest crime of the century if you happen to have 5 quid's worth of cannabis in your pocket. Anyway, if you have got an addiction problem, you'll be using pretty regularly, and the chances are you will be caught more than once, according to Anna, or it's twice. Are quite significant. The 2016 Drug Policy Modelling Programme briefing paper on the decriminalisation of drug use and possession reported that drug use rates do not change or dramatically increase when the laws change to decriminalise drug use. In other words, they're suggesting by decriminalise you won't actually see an increase in drug use. I do not think that is the case, but that's just my own view on it. But other people believe it is the case. In other words, that if you decriminalise... Now, there's a difference in decriminalising and legalising. It's very... vague, actually, the difference. But the difference is decriminalising more or less suggests that once you have only enough for your personal use, well, then you won't get done. Legalising suggests that it's a free-for-all. So decriminalising, although pretty much two of the same thing, you know, it is pretty much the same thing. It just means that you can't deal. There would be legitimate ways of, you know, providing and supplying drugs through the state. Anyway, the 2014 UK Home Office report on the international evidence regarding the impact of decriminalisation of drugs use found that decriminalising does not affect the level of drug use prevalence, neither lowering nor increasing it. Now, people go on about Portugal all the time and places that have decriminalised and say, oh, well, look, drug crime is down. But of course drug crime is down because you don't arrest anybody anymore. So absolutely drug crime is down. Now, the crimes relating to drugs may not be reported as being related to drugs because drug crime is down. So of course drug crime is down. That's not even a logical argument. And what we would like to see is drug use down. But unfortunately, that's not going to be the case. When you legalise or decriminalise, drug use doesn't go down. And that's the argument, or that's the point that the UK Home Office makes. It doesn't reduce the prevalence, nor either lowering nor increasing it. But my belief is that I don't want to live in a society that gives a green light to drug use. Maybe you want to live in a society like that, but I certainly don't. But let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Do you believe that the possession of drugs for personal use should be decriminalised? I'm talking about all drugs. I'm not talking about cannabis, by the way. I'm talking about heroin. I'm talking about cocaine. I'm talking about, you know, I don't know, ecstasy. Whatever drug it happens to be. Do you believe they all should be decriminalised for personal use? In other words, once you only have enough on you for personal use, I don't know what that is in each particular drug, but that you do not get arrested and you do not get charged. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Currently, they're all illegal for all purposes. Let me just go to John. John, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits. How you doing, John?
Afternoon, how are you?
John, do you believe that drug use should be decriminalised?
Not overall, but I think maybe possibly for small amounts of your cash for personal possession. I wouldn't have always believed this, you know, but I've come around to it. I think tying up the courts and tying up Gardaí time and giving people criminal convictions for small amounts that are definitely deemed to be for just personal use, I think you should be let off maybe with a caution note or cut the second time, maybe a caution again, if you continue on. But, like, I would be against, like, if you stop me in the street, we'd say, and I have a small amount on me, right? And you stop the guy and he opens the car and he's got the boot full of cocaine or cannabis.
Well, of course, that's drug dealing, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, but even having a small, I mean, if we didn't have drug users, we wouldn't have drug dealers.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, because
yeah.
if there was nobody to sell them to. So the whole idea of, you know, the illegality of drugs is to discourage people from actually taking it in the first place. It kind of sends out a message, this is a dangerous substance, but that's why it's illegal.
The problem is, no, like, whether we allow people a small amount for personal use or not, right? The problem is still there because, look, it's embedded in society. You know, the smallest little hamlet, you know, before you have to go to the major cities, you know, the small little parish, you know, with only 5 or 6 houses, you have the local guy distributing cannabis, cocaine, whatever you want. It's on your phone call away. We all know that. I mean, the demand is there.
Is this only? But I mean, is it only a phone call away? Because if I decided suddenly this afternoon I wanted to snort cocaine, I don't know where I'd get it. You're saying it's a phone call away. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Ashling, have you decided tomorrow this afternoon that you wanted to start taking cocaine? Would you know where to get it? No, she said she wouldn't. I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people would.
Maybe in the media I should have a better idea because there's so many people in the media snorting cocaine. But I should have a better idea.
It's well established now that cocaine, it's just up there now, which would be the drinking culture before. Cocaine is right up there now for recreation now. It's part and parcel of going out for the weekend. I'm not saying that's right, but it's there now, it's embedded. The demand is there, the supply is there. And look, the selfishness in the Irish people, they are not connecting the criminality, the murder, the mayhem that goes on, the misery.
Yeah, but why would you want to decriminalise, stroke legalise, even for personal possession? Another vice that's going to cost... Look, we already have one vice, which is alcohol.
There's a big difference between, as I said, if you're going down just small amounts of personal use, to actually open up society completely and legalising everything across the board.
But John, hold on a second. Okay, alcohol in this country is only legalised for personal use, essentially, because you have to have a licence to sell it, okay? So it's only legalised for personal use. And look at the problems we have with alcohol in this country. Now, I'm not saying that we should ban alcohol because some people enjoy it and some people do it socially, and that's fine. But look at the problems we have with alcohol. Alcohol is responsible for so much crime and so many problems in society. Why would we want to legalise for personal use another vice that's going to cause equally as many problems?
Well, we say if the guards stop somebody in the road, you open the boot, right, and it's full of alcohol, no, right? The guards look at it and you might say, like, is this guy selling this or what? But now you've got to say, this is for personal use, like, so we're having parties in my house or whatever. But if you open the same boot and it's full of cannabis or cocaine, well, it's a different ballgame.
That's because it's illegal for personal use, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, when I look at it, it's taking up an enormous amount of court time, guardy time, which, Jesus, I was in town twice over the weekend and I didn't see one yellow jacket. The town was heaving, but there wasn't a static guard on sight in the streets.
That's a bigger problem, by the way. That's a bigger problem.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's an awful lot of court time and everything taken up with this. So, look, I will go down the road for small amounts. I would be totally against legalising cannabis and cocaine right across the board because you might as well bury the
place. You're advocating the decriminalisation for personal use. So you are advocating legalisation. That's what you essentially are doing.
No, what I'm saying is, like, I mean, that
it's the same thing.
If it's a small amount, like, I mean...
But you're only allowed to have a small amount of alcohol, technically speaking, as well, because you're not allowed to sell alcohol without a license. So alcohol in this country, and most countries, is legalised for personal use, right? It's not legalised for you to sell it. You can't sell alcohol in this country unless you have a license. So what I'm saying is, you're more or less saying the same thing about Class A drugs, that yes, you can have enough, as long as it's for yourself.
Well, you see, the thing is, like, I mean, the people are still taking it, no matter what we do. Like, so are we still going to go down this road, as I say, tying up guards and courts and everything and costing you a goddamn fortune, a very small amount, like, I mean.
Well, we've two choices. You're saying to me that, well, what you're saying to me is prohibition is not working. Is that what you're saying to me?
It's not, obviously.
It does work. Prohibition, this argument that prohibition doesn't work, and everybody quotes America and they talk about when they banned alcohol in America many, many years ago. Just because prohibition is not working as well as it should when it comes to drugs, and that there's no doubt about that, Prohibition does work in other sectors of society when it comes to speeding or murder or assault. Or we have prohibition on all those things. The word prohibition talks about things being illegal. And we have prohibition on all those other things. Don't get me wrong, people still get murdered, people still get assaulted, people still rob each other. But in saying that, we do have laws against it which restrict how much of it goes on in society. Prohibition on drugs certainly doesn't eliminate drugs, but the Garda Síochána have had huge hauls of drugs in this country and in other countries around the world, which certainly limit the amount of availability of it.
That's obviously not, but at the same time, for everyone they catch, like, I mean, there's about 10 coming
through. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So for it's the same as saying for every speeder on the road, there's about 20 other people that will speed just as fast, just don't get caught. So what I'm saying is prohibition does have an effect, but maybe not the required effect.
Well, we have prohibition, the state prohibition, obviously, against drugs. Like, but I mean, it's still a massive problem in society. Like, so, I mean, it's not working. So, I mean, as I said again, tying up gear at the time, of course, with very small amounts. Like, I mean, maybe it's time to look at that, you know.
Well, maybe that's a Garda issue, because you can't turn around and say that, because then we could equally say we shouldn't be tying Garda up in courts dealing with assault charges, dealing with domestic violence, dealing with robberies, dealing with assaults. Of course, that's the Garda's job, unfortunately. Well, let me just go to Ger as well, because Ger, you're an Ireland's classic kids. How you doing?
How you doing, Niall?
Now, getting decriminalisation, yeah.
Ireland's there, by the way.
Sorry?
You're comparing apples and oranges.
I'm not.
There.
I'm comparing things that are legal.
If I go out and punch somebody in the head, I'm seriously affecting them. If I want to put some street pharmaceuticals into my own body, I'm only affecting me.
You're not. You're affecting. No, you're affecting society.
No, that's only if I go out and I do stuff like rob and mug.
Well, people do.
Well, yeah, at the moment they do. But if you're in that situation, you're in a bad situation. Okay, you're taking drugs because you're in a bad situation. Giving somebody a criminal charge or arrest them or put them in jail, it's not going to help their life. It's not going to make things better for them. You need to dig them out of that hole, not bury them deeper into it.
And how do you do that?
Well, there's many ways of doing it. It's, I'm not forgetting the word.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying we spend a lot of money. There's any amount of NGOs in this country who are there for that purpose.
Niall, if you have all that Gardaí that are chasing just drugs, all that jury service, court services that are just chasing drugs, if you take that money and put it into treatment as opposed to punishment, do you know what I mean? There's an awful lot of money there that could be altered, moved direction. And let the Gardaí get out and do things which are stopping people being punched in the head on the street. Do you know what I mean?
But why are those people being punched in the head on the street?
Well,
when we look at the crimes that really would draw our attention recently, you know, particularly murders in the city centre, particularly in Dublin as well, because the murder rate in Dublin is pretty high compared to what it was 20, 30 years ago. When you look at that, most of that is because of drugs.
Well, it's the drug black market.
Well, yes. But it's still because of drugs.
As you said there yourself, like, the police go out and they get an awful lot of drugs off these streets, which makes the drugs on the streets rarer and more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings in crime. You know, you're attracting crime and dealers there, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real crime around beer because it's readily accessible.
The majority of crimes that are committed, and when they talk about small crimes, assaults and fights in the city centre and robberies, and the majority of that usually happens with people who are either on drugs or drink.
That's the fact.
I mean, people. Yeah, I mean, if you look at public order problems in the city centre, for example, on a nightly basis, you know, the majority of that is because of alcohol.
But we have to.
I'm not suggesting banning alcohol, by the way. I'm just saying.
I know. But you have to accept there's going to be a certain element of society, of people, that will just take drugs because that's
absolutely
the way people are, and they're going to. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I heard you say there that the decriminalising doesn't reduce
prohibition.
The amount.
Prohibition. Yeah.
No, not prohibition. But decriminalising doesn't reduce the amount. Like, you'll have one person will stop, and another person will take them up. Right, but the thing is, if someone does take up drugs,
by the way, that wasn't me that said that. I'm just looking at a report from the UK Home Office. They found that decriminalisation, because of course they have a different approach over there, there's a cautionary approach to the possession of drugs, right? And they say drug use found that decriminalisation does not affect the level of drug use prevalence, nor neither lowering it or increasing it. That was their report, not mine.
Yeah, well, I tend to think what happens is you're just replacing one person for another one. As opposed to, like, if you have 100 people always taking drugs, one will stop and another one will take off.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably best to try and stop them in the first place. But when someone does put their foot on that ladder, you know, it's best to try and help them get off the ladder and not to try it. letter and holes. I'm using the wrong metaphors. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but somebody says here, Portugal. Okay, I'm looking at somebody sent me into.
Look at Switzerland, because Switzerland is a much better example, I think.
I think you gave me that before about Switzerland. But I know somebody says here, Portugal, and I don't know how they know this, maybe they've been there, is full of drug dealers since decriminalisation. The drug dealers only hold a small amount on them for sale now, as they can get done for it. They just replenish from a nearby hidden stash as they sell. Now, I did have somebody on from Portugal who's told me something similar to that before. And this whole idea that drug crime is down in Portugal, or maybe Switzerland is the example you used, is probably true. But the reason for it is because they're not reported anymore, because drug crime is not illegal. Essentially, the possession of drugs is not illegal for personal use. So that's why drug crime would be down. Of course it is. Because it's not a crime anymore.
If you go back to the individual, the person who's stuck on these things, yeah. Like I myself, I don't know.
I feel sorry for them.
I've never bothered, never dabbled, never interested me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. You feel sorry for them, but is it not better to try and help them?
I wish you could help them.
But criminalising them and giving them like a criminal record, it's not going to help them. Like, you go for a job interview and go, well, where were you last year? Well, I was sitting in a prison cell because I put something I wanted to into my body and someone said I shouldn't be doing that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's the wrong approach.
But the greatest respect. Jer, who's jailed for being out of their head? Nobody.
Sorry?
You're saying that somebody who's a drug user ends up in jail. Drug users don't end up in jail. They end up in jail for doing something else. It's usually not the use of the drugs.
It's mostly for the dealing, but they're dealing.
Yes, they're dealing, or they're involved in crime to get money for drugs.
So you get them off the drugs, they're not dealing, and they're not involved in crime.
But you're making it sound really easy to get them off the drugs.
That's a fair point. It's not as easy.
You know what I mean? It's not as easy as that.
Yeah. I've heard heroin users tell me that cigarettes are worse than heroin to get off.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm a smoker. I know all about it.
Yeah, I used to be 10 years ago. I stopped, but so I know.
I'm wondering to myself, if they made smoking illegal tomorrow, would I go off them, or could I go off them? I did go off them for 3 years, and just unfortunately a life event changed all that and sent me back into a spiral of smoking again. But I'm wondering, if it was illegal, would I go off them? And I think I would.
You probably would, but I'd pee everyone around you.
I'd feel sorry for poor old Aisling and Ruth here as well. Alright, is it going to take a break? Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. Number 087-188-0008. Jer believes that we should decriminalise all drugs. There's no point in putting people in jail for possession of drugs. I want to know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008.
Niall, alcohol shouldn't be legal. It causes a lot more problems in families than any drug. And have a quick look at Portugal there. Not a single problem on the streets in Portugal. No homeless people, very little anyway. And there's not an issue with drugs. Nothing. You need to get your facts right, Niall, now. It's annoying listening to you. I listen to you every day now, but this is getting annoying.
It's getting annoying, so obviously drugs are a lesser problem than alcohol. Well, actually, to be honest with you, at this very moment in time, I probably wouldn't disagree with you. Alcohol is a bigger problem.
Hi, Niall. You can go into Tesco and fill your trolley with slabs if you're having a house party. How's that personal use? Thanks very much. Love the show.
Well, it is personal use. It's considered by law to be personal use. The point is, as an individual, you cannot sell alcohol. It's illegal for you to sell alcohol unless you have a license. So to deal in alcohol is illegal unless you have a license. That's the way it works. So any alcohol that you have is for personal use. In other words, you're buying it because you're having a house party or whatever it is to share amongst you and your friends for free. You're not selling it. So it is for personal use. I'm just using an analogy, by the way. The number is 087-188-0008. Or you can go to a pub and drink, but you can't pour it into somebody else. The number is 087-188-0008. Should we decriminalise all drugs? Let me know what you think. Martin, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Martin? I mean, you've heard about Jer and John before the break there, and that person with a very rude voicemail suggesting that I'm off my head for even thinking that this is not a good idea.
Well, I would agree that, you know, we have to have some form of social message out there that drugs is wrong to be going down that route. I mean, you know, we don't really need drugs. I mean, I'm a great firm believer that if you've got an addiction issue, then, you know, the health service needs to pile on the rehab and, you know, empower people to be able to remember what life was like before they were on drugs. I mean, we're all born without a needle in our arms or a joint in our mouths. You know, we survived for so long before, you know, we needed this prop, for want of a better word. Because, you know, what is it about? Drugs are just masking an issue that people have probably got. It's given them a reason to
to hide behind, you know. And you know, I was going to say before I came on the program, I thought the day that Anthony was telling you that he was half naked.
Oh yeah,
joking.
I know. I think he was fully naked. Actually, if the truth be known, he was fully naked. Well, that was the day we were talking about naturism. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I promised that the next time you had me on, I'd tell you that I've always been fully clothed.
I'm delighted to hear that, Martin. That makes me a lot more comfortable talking to you.
Just so you feel more comfortable, yeah.
I mean, look, people quote Portugal and Switzerland and other countries that have brought in these programs, these kind of light touch programs where, you know, they don't arrest people and they say nothing to them the first time around, and maybe second or third time they might send them off to a bit of rehab.
Well, this is it. I mean, they all say there isn't a problem. It's because there is a problem. It's just they're not prosecuting anybody anymore.
Well, that's why drug crime is down now, yeah.
That's why drug crime is down. Is that, you know, that's the whole reason for it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it is a social issue. I mean, if you go back to when, you know, people were smoking in London in the opium dens and the this, that and the other that they had over there, at that time in the 1800s, before any form of legislation for Class A drugs came in, you know, or Class C drugs came in, there was a big, big huge problem. Nobody was bloody working. Mm-hmm. They were all off their heads.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, and that was because...
And the same happened in the 70s in America as well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly what happened in the
70s. Everyone was out of their box on LSD, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, you know, the society had to turn around and say, we need to do something about this. Put in some form of disincentive, which obviously jail is, or any form of criminal record is, to get people to adjust their behaviour. And, you know, at the end of the day, we, as I said before, I know I'm a firm favourite in getting people into proper rehab and mental health help wherever's needed. To get people back to where they should be.
But as far as you're concerned, the law is the law, and the law is there for good reason, not to give a green light to young people setting out in this wonderful world that drugs are a good thing.
Yeah, and it's just that we have this liberalised society now saying, ah, sure, you know...
Everything goes.
Just everything goes, let us be off with it. And,
okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me just go to Marie as well. Marie, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Marie?
Hi Niall, I was listening to your show, and I just, when I heard that Portuguese model being mentioned again, nobody ever mentions Japan. So I was in Japan a few years ago, and I had cultural training, you know, about what not to do before I started my job. So we were basically told, you know, they were aware that they were dealing with foreigners, that, you know, smoking a joint wasn't regarded as, you know, hugely bad. So they said, in Japan, there's no distinction between smoking cannabis and hardcore drugs. And we were told we'd incur like huge legal fees. We'd be deported, that Japan had a zero like tolerance attitude towards drugs. And it was one of the safest countries I've ever lived in. You know, I was never offered drugs when I was over there. There was no heroin addiction.
They also have the lowest murder rate in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they, you know, I just... When they're talking about the Portuguese model, you made a really good point. Of course, it's going to bring down the stats, but they're kind of false stats.
Well, of course they are, because they don't report it anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just wish that they would look into kind of Japan more as an example.
Well, see, in Japan, I mean, you're right. They have a zero tolerance drug towards drugs. But you will get, like, say, for example, for being in possession of a small quantity of drugs, you can get 10 years in jail.
I have no idea. Like, we were basically told you will go to prison.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pay, like, solicitors.
Oh, there's no messing. Yeah, straight to jail.
Yeah, like, so we didn't even, but, like, I
so you wouldn't even, the point was, that was enough of a deterrent. When you knew they took it seriously, that was enough of a deterrent for you not to even think about it.
But I didn't even have the option. It was never offered to me, but it was, like, really, you just do not want to go there. You don't want to be put in that position. There's going to be, like, no sympathy shown to you, and you'll be kicked out of the country, and that's it. Like, you'll never come back again. So when you actually have boundaries, I think it makes a huge amount of difference. And I think the problem with Ireland is there are no boundaries, and people are pushing them the whole time.
So because we have a kind of light touch approach, I suppose, Martin, what Maria is saying, because it's a light touch approach, people don't take the law too seriously. In other words, sure, nothing will happen to me if the guard stops me and I have a little bag of weed in my pocket. Sure, nothing's really going to happen to me, which is probably the truth. So whereas in Japan, if you're stopped by the Japanese police with a little bit of weed in your pocket, you're going to jail for 10 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's a case in point, isn't it? I mean, you know, we have such a sort of liberalised society now that, you know, we don't tend to have the boundaries that we should have. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I said I was a firm favourite of rehab and helping people with addiction issues and all the rest of it. But that cost the state money. Mm-hmm. That cost us all money, which could be diverted to people who've got actual, you know, real health issues, you know, like cancer and all the rest of it. But we're spending it and diverting it on trying to get people straight in their heads again.
I mean, Japanese society, I don't know how long you were there for, Marie.
2.5 years.
Okay, and did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's a completely different culture.
Of course,
you know? Like, you know, there are problems there. It's not perfect, but, I mean, the good side of Japan, the good outweighs the bad.
Is the crime rate. The crime rate is low.
Oh, it is. So, like, I left my wallet on a train once and I had 2 representatives from the train station came to my workplace with the wallet and they had taken account of how much money was in it and everything. Look,
that's normal behaviour over there. People will actually give you stuff back. Nobody steals. Well, there obviously is some crime. But generally speaking, people are much nicer in that respect that they will actually return your goods to you.
I think that's a lot to do with their cultural upbringing. I mean, selling in Japan, probably in the 70s, 80s and early 90s. And the thing that I learned from them was that, you know, it took you a good 5 or 10 years before they'd even give you an order because they needed to get to know you. They needed to get to know your character, whether you're a good character or a bad character. And it was part of a culture of service that they have. They don't have this heightened individualism that we have over here. You know, it was always deference to...
Absolutely. Just to go back to you, Marie. You've pointed at the good stuff, and Japan is a beautiful place, by the way, and the laws, some people might say they're a bit strict, but in saying that, they seem to run a tightly run ship. But if you could give me a disadvantage to living over there, what was the disadvantage? The language? Well, obviously because you don't speak Japanese.
Oh, no. They were really nice about that, and you can actually... I mean, I picked it up, okay, but women... Like, traditionally, I got away with this because I was a foreigner, but in the workplace over there, most women would work as office ladies, so they're making people coffee and doing kind of basic work, and then when they get married, they're expected to leave work and raise their children. So it's not very equal in that sense, but things are changing.
It'd be very similar to the way Ireland was in that respect, going back many years ago, of course,
But I mean, it's just... I found it, like, it is a wonderful country. It just, they're not individualistic. You think about the welfare of the group as opposed to just putting your needs first.
Okay, so it's very community-based.
Yeah, and I actually think that's a really good thing. I don't see that as a negative. It's hard to get your head around it, you know.
Would you go back there? The ultimate question is, Marie, would you live there?
I'd love to.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good thing then, if you think you'd live there and you'd be happy to live there.
Well, I just think living in a country where you don't have to worry about crime or you don't have to worry about being mugged or, you know, I'm living in Cork at the moment and addiction is really in your face.
I know.
It's really violent. Like, there's an awful lot of violent crimes associated with, you know, heroin addiction and it's not nice. It really isn't, you know. And look, even kids, like, there's needles found at the entrance of my estate and... you just see it every day and it's horrible. It'll never become normal.
And when kids grow up in that environment, then they can't avoid it as they get older. You know what I mean?
Because I think, like, a lot of kids think it's normal. Like, I'm living on the north side of Cork and I've been listening to the Two Norries podcast. And, like, they said in that podcast that nearly everyone on the north side is related to somebody who's been in prison. I don't know if that's true, but I mean, like, that's, I think they come from Ard Cullen.
Okay.
But, like, it's just... I don't know.
I don't know how true that is, but maybe it was an anecdotal kind of thing to throw out there. But I get the point they were trying to make. But stay there for a second because I want to go to Carlos too before we go into the break. Carlos, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits. Okay, Carlos, you live in, you're from Portugal originally.
I am from Portugal, I'm from around Lisbon. I'm from a town called Cascais, into the coast, from the coast. It's about half an hour from Lisbon.
Okay, yeah. Well, many years ago, just to remind people, they brought in this kind of idea in Portugal of decriminalising drugs, all drugs, whereby you wouldn't be lifted if you happen to have some for personal possession. You'd kind of get a caution and be offered help. Has it worked in your view?
I don't know if it works, because I give you an example on Lisbon. You could buy drugs everywhere in Lisbon, right? You have a load of gypsies from Spain selling drugs, lives in Portugal, selling drugs in Lisbon. He come to you in the streets there and it says, offer you drugs if you want to buy it. You see, and the crime, and to have drugs in Portugal is a crime. Right,
mm-hmm.
You're being caught the first time. You're going to be arrested. You're going to the judge. The judge will let you go the first time. The second time it happens the same. He give you a warning, something. The third time you're going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People saying you're not going to prison if you.
Yes, three strikes and you're out, so to speak. Yeah,
you're gone. You have three options.
Yeah.
To, after the third time. You're going to prison, and you're going for a treatment, right?
But you have, I think, the way they do it is they give you a choice. You can either go to jail or go into rehab.
After the third time, you're definitely going to jail.
Yeah.
After the third time, because the first time the judge lets you go, right?
The point I wanted to make was, since the legislation was brought in and since they changed the law in Portugal around decriminalisation, when I say decriminalisation, certainly this kind of more health-based approach to it, do you think, as some people have said, although statistics wouldn't bear out because, of course, drug crime is clearly down because not as many people get arrested because the police probably have a different approach to it, but do you believe, there's more dealers and more people on drugs now than there was before the legislation came in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus, he is.
Okay, so the problem is worse now, it's just not being recorded.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, and the police sometimes, he knows where he have to go, right? Mm. He knows some drug dealers, definitely knows something. I'm not saying the police is corrupt, don't take me wrong. You see, you have very honest cops out there, and sometimes, you see, like Holland, Holland, the drugs is legal, right?
Yes.
And you don't see drug dealers nowhere in Holland. If you legalize,
Are you advocating for legalization? Do you believe it should be legalized?
Well, if it's going to be, all the drug dealers is going to disappear.
No, they won't. What will happen is if you legalise it, the state will be obviously responsible for providing it. The drug dealers are still going to bring in a cheaper version of it.
Yeah, you see, it's going to be different. You're not going to see so many people. You see, like you see in Holland, it's completely different things.
I don't know whether people would like Ireland to be like Holland. Actually, Carlos, do me a favour, stay there because I have to go into a break. The number is 087-188-0008. Stay with me, Carlos, if you can. I think Martin might disagree with you, but stay with me. The number is 087-188-0008. All right, so we have comments coming in. That comment, that person saying that everyone on the north side of Cork has someone belonging to them in prison. I don't think she said someone belonged. She said they knew somebody in prison. Anyway, they knew of somebody who was in prison. I think that's the point she made, which was totally untrue. Anyway, is absolutely totally outrageous. It's such a derogatory comment. It's so untrue. And even to quote such a comment is beyond the highest level of ignorance and snobbery and highly offensive. I think you need to correct that remark as a respect to your listeners in the north side of Cork, says Dave. Dave, I did correct her at the time. I did say that's probably an anecdotal story from somebody that's probably completely untrue. So I did actually correct her at the time. But anyway, yes, and I correct it again. It's probably completely untrue. I don't think she said belonging to them. I did say I think what she said was very incorrect. Didn't her maybe, but I think she did say knew somebody who was in jail. But anyway, let me just go to stay there, Carlos. Actually, I just want to let Martin respond to what you said just before the break. Sorry, Martin, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you heard what Carlos said, that maybe going down the kind of Amsterdam model would be a better suggestion, which is not decriminalization, which is complete legalization.
Yeah, well, I mean, Amsterdam is its own unique problem, they've managed to, I've been to Amsterdam. I used to sell trips to Amsterdam, so I know what Amsterdam's like.
Yeah.
So,
Do we really want? Do we really want, say, Dublin, for example, to be the next Amsterdam, or the next? You know what I mean? I don't know whether people would want that or not.
It becomes one great big hen party.
Let's go to Amsterdam and take drugs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they then have all the rehab problems and all the social problems that go with it.
Mm.
I mean, you know, the tribe policing, in fact, they're actually getting more and more harder on it now. So they're actually sort of rowing back on the
lot. They are. They've said already, some of the people over there have said they're not happy with the idea of Amsterdam being this kind of weekend break for taking drugs. But yeah. Stay there for a second, because I want to go to Sinead as well. Stay with me, Carlos, too. Sinead, you're an Ireland's classic hit. How are you doing, Sinead?
Hi, Nine, how are you?
Good. Carlos suggested, you know, well, maybe we should go down the Amsterdam route and legalise all drugs.
I'm for it and against it, I think, when it comes to that. Like, unless, you know, people are willing to want help, they're not going to get it. And legalising it, then I don't think they will want it, because they're not going to get into trouble for taking it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's necessarily...
Okay, you had your own story. Obviously, you were touched by somebody with a problem with drugs.
Well, yeah, my mom, going back now a few years ago, was attacked in broad daylight, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Some guy came up in a hoodie and basically tried to take a purse off her. Now, my mom is now in her 70s, but when it happened, she fought back and held onto her handbag.
Okay.
But anyway, he took a knife out and he stabbed her in the hand.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, now, to be fair, we were probably lucky that it was nowhere else but in the hand. But at the same time, this guy didn't even live in our little town where I'm here in Shannon. And he was moved out from, we'll say, Ennis, and was housed here in Shannon. And he needed his next test. My mother happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And bam, he took off.
But, that shouldn't always be the thing when we say we were in the wrong place at the wrong time, etc. I mean, it shouldn't happen. The bottom line is that shouldn't happen.
No,
by the way, was he charged? Did they catch him?
Well, we were very lucky because people, community in Shannon are very good, and a lot of people stopped their cars, and a few lads actually came out of the cars and made a run to this guy, and they did catch him.
Good.
So, yeah, thank God.
Well, that's a better result than we had for Jay last week. I don't know if you heard Jay was on and his mother was attacked in O'Connell Street and nobody batted an eyelid.
That's terrible. You see, to me, that's not right. That's
they
not
put
the
a syringe up to her neck. He put a syringe up to her neck in the middle of the day in O'Connell Street, and there was hundreds of people walking around and nobody stopped him, and he took her handbag.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I know people are afraid to get involved, but
yeah.
I still think, you know, you have to rely on your community to help in times of need.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think the point that you're making, it's not really about the people taking the drugs. It's about the crime that's committed to get the money for the drugs.
That's exactly it, yeah, yeah.
And how long did he get convicted, this guy, for what he did to your mum?
He did, to be fair now. He did go to court and he had, I think it was 29 other different...
previous convictions?
Yes, yeah. So he got, I think it was 4.5 years with a suspended sentence of 18 months, something like that.
Right,
so
okay.
He did do time for it.
Yeah, but your poor mother got a stab wound in the hand.
She did. And as I said, like, for my mom then to have to come past that and, you know, even to be able to work and go back to work, to walk to work, which she enjoyed doing, you know, even
of course.
Simple things, it knocks them completely. Their confidence are gone. You know, the guards were great and they did offer counselling and that. But as my mom's generation, they're not into counselling. Where do you go with people that get attacked on
yeah.
that side of things? You have to look at both sides of the story.
Yeah, well, in other words, we spend way too long talking about the perpetrators, not enough time
yes.
talking about the victims. I get you.
Yes.
I get you. Thank you, yes. Sinead, and give your mom my regards. That's a terrible, terrible incident, and I hope she'll probably never get over it. She'll always be thinking of it. Thank you, Carlos and Martin, and everyone involved in that conversation.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.